Now I have to find my soundbar.
Friends with brews.
Sounds like you found it.
Yep, I found it, Peter. I also found a head and chest cold that is just kicking my ass. Do I have to do this for ass? Does ass deserve a beverage opening? Here's an ass covering beverage opening.
Now you got to do it again.
See, now I'm covering my ass.
We're going to get
with
drunk
beer.
Real fast.
With beer.
Covering your...
Oh, my God. Oh,
and
my
God. There's the show title. All right, well, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to open up one of my beers right now.
Okay, talk to me about your... This is, even by Costa Rica standards, this is lame. What is this you got here?
This is actually one of my favorite beers. It is a Schoffelhofer Grapefruit Shandy.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is the alcohol by volume, the ABV, which is a super strong 2.5%.
Well,
how do you get a 2.5% beer, you might ask? Well, it's easy. You start with a 5% wheat beer and then water it down 50% with grapefruit juice, actually.
Okay.
So this is a Radler, or what we would call in the U.S. a Shandy.
Can I just characterize this as you drinking out of the punch bowl? Actually, most punch bowls at school parties probably have more alcohol than that.
More than 2.5%. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, it's normally a summer beer, and here I am in New England on the brink of a nor'easter where we're supposed to get 2 to 18 inches. So, of course, I'm going to have a nice, refreshing summer beer.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
What about you?
Okay, I have... As you know, you know what? Let me go to our website and do a quick search, because I hear, Peter, that friendswithbrews.com, I hear that it has a search term, and it does. Gluten-free Olali Ale. Okay, so before I had the Olali Ale, which was gluten-free, now I'm having a gluten-free Beerly Brewers, which is Beirly Blackbird Stout. Here's the can, in case you care about cans.
Beerly Blackbird Stout. Okay, excellent. Well, shall we take the first sip?
Pop. Hold on.
Sounds like Scott might have spilled a little bit. Think he missed the target. Ooh.
None was spilled, but it sure got on my hand. Okay.
Cheers.
Look how dark that is. I even poured it sideways, and I still look at that foam. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers. This is delicious.
Mm. This is, so far all I've had is foam, so who the... Absolute bleep. No.
It's foamy. So it's foamy.
It's foamy.
So, what are we talking about today?
Peter, I haven't even started editing the last one because I have been sick and I have had a lot of software testing to do. So I was working on I was sick. So I slept a lot of Saturday, but I worked part of Saturday. I slept a lot of Sunday. I worked a lot of Sunday. If I haven't been working for Monolith 3000, I've been sleeping.
I've been working too, but not quite that much.
Part of the reason why, well, we have a software release we need to get stuff tested for, but not just that, but I'm trying to take some time off at the end of March, and so I'm rushing to get stuff done by then. Thank you. I see you typing things. I see you put in a zero instead of an O.
I'm putting in my beer. I was trying to put in an O with the umlaut, but I couldn't figure out how to do that real quick, so I just grabbed that, but I have one now.
Peter has an umlaut, everyone. Don't look directly at the umlaut.
I'm covering my umlaut with beer.
Beer. Okay, I get the point there, Peter, with your gigantic umlaut. Oh my God. Peter has gone all show notesy on me.
Yeah, you deserve it. All right. So anyway, I'm putting that in.
Hey, I have a coffee as well.
Well, I don't. And the reason I don't is I was a little tired yesterday afternoon and I had a coffee and... Bedtime came around and I was awake until almost midnight and I couldn't get to sleep. So I might go back downstairs for a decaf, or I might just have a second one of these Schoffelhofers.
If my iPhone had synced the photo of the coffee. Oh, there it did. Finally. Thank you, mother flipper. Back porch. Oh my God. So here, I have a question for you because I took a picture of a coffee bag so that I would have it. This is Back Porch. I've had this before. Back Porch. And this is the single track blend of coffee. My iPhone never gets below 40% in everyday use. It just doesn't. Okay. And yet, when my iPhone is anywhere between 100% to whatever it is at the end of the day, anywhere between there, aka always, When I take a photo, it never uploads it to the cloud, and it always says pausing syncing to save battery. Don't save my battery. My battery's 100%. The last thing I want is for you to save my battery. Get the photo into the cloud so that when I get on my Mac, I have the photo there. Can you? Why?
Have you ever thought maybe the reason your battery never goes below 40 is because it's so healthy, because it's always saving itself for you? You're either speechless or you just lost audio. Friends, I think we've just lost Scott. But I still have my beer. We're going to pause for a second just to sip my really yummy beer. It's funny, it's so low alcohol. And I had my glass in the freezer that it's actually part of it has started to freeze. It's got little bits of ice in the beer, which normally I would complain about, right? I would say, wow, this beer is so lame that it can actually freeze. But again, the intention of this is to be a crisp, refreshing, shandy, stylish Radler thing. And we're back.
Oh my God. It's not like we had tons of... I don't even know what to say. I think that the Apple's Bluetooth problems are the most egregious on the Mac, but they have Bluetooth problems everywhere.
Well, I think as you have illustrated, though, as I have also witnessed, they have problems on the iPhone and the Mac, and it only gets worse when you try to use the iPhone and the Mac together.
The combination, yeah.
Whenever I try to transfer a call from my phone to use my Mac as the speaker and the mic,
yeah,
the call drops immediately.
I've heard of other people having that. And here, this is another weird one. Okay, I think I talked about how I'm sick and I don't feel good and I have the head cold, right? Here's literally what I did today, Peter. I took my iPhone, I put it on the mount that I put on my Apple Studio display so that I could use it as the camera for this call that we're in right now. Okay, because it's so much better than the studio display camera. Anyway, it's up on top of my monitor. Just picture it being on a magnetic, what do they call it? MagSafe stand on top of the studio monitor. It's there.
I can see it now.
I wander off. I forget where my phone is. I can't find my phone. I'm running all over the house trying to find my phone. I'm not kidding. So I use my Mac, which the phone is right above it, and I still didn't see it. Anyway, I use Find My on my Mac to play a sound to my phone. It never goes. It never went. My wife used her phone to play a sound to it. It never went. I had to go find my iPad and play a sound from there, and then it played a sound, and then I walked in and saw, oh, it was right there the whole time. But that's how bad it is. It said it was playing a sound, but it never played the sound from those other devices. Not once. Never.
Yep. Apple can't even.
Apple, I think, in some ways is worse than Microsoft, because I'm positive that Microsoft knows their software is utter shit.
I'm just going to say, because Microsoft knows that they suck.
Oh, my day continues. I gotta go get a towel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott will be right back. He has to go get a towel. So now I will stay here and continue to record again while I see Scott walk down the hallway. So I'll talk a little bit about my beer. As I mentioned earlier, it's a Schöfferhofer Hefeweizen beer, grapefruit. On the label, it says German quality. And yes, it is. So as I mentioned, it is a unique combination of sparkling, smooth, unfiltered Hefeweizen beer with natural grapefruit flavoring. And the label says that it's a refreshing, well-balanced taste with tangy character and hints of sweetness. It's pleasing to the palate, best served ice cold and right from the bottle. And it's true. It is. So this is a good beer. It's a definite thumbs up. It is one of my repeats. I buy it a lot. It's good, good, good. So yeah, that's my beer, Schöfferhofer. I like it. It's a little bit out of season right now, but I don't care. I'm going to keep drinking it. In fact, I'm about to polish off my first bottle. It's nice. So yeah, that's definitely a thumbs up. Would buy again. No desperation needed.
Give me a minute. I got a lot of carpet to clean here.
I'm still telling everybody about my brew, and I think I've pretty much summed it up. And like I said, it goes down real easy. So I've just polished off that beer and it's gone, and I barely feel anything because again, 2.5%. So it's like I've drunk half a beer right now. In other news. Let's see. I refuse to talk about that thing that Scott thinks that I always talk about, so I'm not going to mention that. And I will give a, I don't know, this is a technology update of sorts. I bought a couple of Black Fridays ago, I switched from my Nest thermostat to an Ecobee, and I bought the Ecobee 3 Lite. And overall, I liked it. I was able to integrate it with my Amazon assistant. I'm not really sure that the savings, you know, the plan, I'm not sure how it works. Like when I had a Nest, what would happen is if I left home when it was working, it would lower the temperature way down. It would just lower it way down because that's what I wanted. Because like there's no need to have the heat. As long as the pipes don't freeze while I'm gone, don't run the heat. The problem is that Nest would routinely lose the geofence. It would just not recognize that I was home. And their support was useless. And I just got sick of it. One day, I spent 3 days in the winter up in Vermont. And I came back home to find that the heat had been blasting the whole time during this cold snap. And I was pissed. So I bought an Ecobee on Black Friday instead. It's weird, though, because, you know, what Ecobee realizes that I'm away, it doesn't significantly lower the heat, which I don't understand, unless I set it to a vacation. But what I did is I enabled an automation with IFT, or I think it might have been Alexa, that when it detects that I leave home, it asks me, hey, do you want to lower the temperature? And then it just does. Well, only recently, thanks to Scott, I got on the HomeKit bandwagon, and I've been converting all of my things over to HomeKit, including like all the new Lutron Caseta light switches that I had installed. I've got a smart lock on it. My Sonos gear is on it. Obviously, my Apple TV is on it. My Philips Hue bulbs are on it. Could not get Ecobee to pair with it, though. And I tried all the usual things. The first thing they'd do is like, reboot your router, reset your Ecobee, reset all of your wireless extenders. Yep, did all that. Reset the Ecobee to factory defaults. Yep, did that. Try connecting with your hotspot. So I tried connecting with my hotspot. I tried connecting, bypassing my Eero mesh routers, went straight through to the, you know, the Fios router. Tried all these things. It simply would not pair. Months of troubleshooting on and off go by. And then like two nights ago, I get an email back from Ecobee saying, oh, we're really sorry. We've changed literally what they say. We changed something on the back end. Can you try it again? I try it again. And lo and behold, it connects. It pairs with HomeKit for the first time ever. Now, one of the things that was so infuriating about this support experience was they support WhatsApp. But every time you connect, it's like you start a new chat and it opens a new ticket. There's no continuity. There's no handoff.
Oh, weird.
So it's like you're talking with a new person who has no clue every single time.
Doesn't WhatsApp have a history?
Oh, yeah. I've got the whole history. I'm like, scroll up, moron. But they can't scroll up on their side. So their integration is a little off, if you ask me. And then right before I went on vacation to Costa Rica, I worked like for an hour on the phone troubleshooting it with a guy who actually was, you know, cool and had a good idea of what was going on. I'm like, dude, I'm heading out of the country, you know, in a couple of days, so I'm going to review. He said, that's fine. You can, you know, continue by email. And sure enough, the emails start going unanswered. So I get no answer there. So that I gave up on that one. So then I came back and just last week, I'm like, all right, you know, reopening this case, folks, I want to know what's going on here. And I start over again, all the same. Have you tried rebooting? Have you tried this? I go through and I finally just had my entire history summary in a single document so I can just paste it into the chat every time. They change something on the back end and it connects, it pairs with HomeKit. Yay! Except it shows as accessory is not available. So it will pair, but then it doesn't work.
See, here's the weird thing is that my Ecobee 3 has been on it this whole time, and it's never not been on it. So whatever they're doing on the back end, it has nothing to do with either older Ecobees or Ecobees that are already on HomeKit. But I don't understand, because the HomeKit pairing thing should happen from the HomeKit side, I thought.
Yeah, and they give me lots of, you know, so they said, well, there's a lot of questions around the Eero routers. They could be causing problems. Yeah, make sure it's up to the latest version. Make sure your iPhone is up to the latest version. Make sure your router is up to, I'm like, look, everything's up to date. And I even had to remind them, like, you know, with five different technicians, look, I bypassed the Eero router this time, right? I'm on the wireless, on the Verizon. And well, it still could be causing problems. I'm like, look, I unplugged all the Eero devices. Is it still the problem? You know? So finally, after months of troubleshooting last night, they're like, we're just going to send you a new thermostat. I was like, okay. Now, here's the thing. I'm happy about this, especially since they're upgrading me to like the latest and greatest version. But I'm skeptical. I still think this is a configuration issue somewhere.
It might
be. You know, I don't know. I tend not to think that it's my Verizon router. You know, because I would think that if the Verizon firewall was stopping it, it would just plain out stop it.
Right, and other people would be having this problem. There has to be more people that use both Verizon. What are you on, Fios?
Yeah.
There have to be other Verizon Fios users with Ecobee.
You'd think, but again, I don't have like any security offerings going on. Now, it's possible that, you know, something else is out there that I'm not aware of. But anyway, so supposedly they're going to be sending, they said they're having stock issues, but they will soon be sending me the latest version, which I think is like the top of the line. So I got an upgrade from the light version to the top one with the voice assistant built in. And they did say that if I have a home hub, I can use Siri with it. But I think they said home pod, but I don't have a home pod. I have an Apple TV, which is my home hub.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe they said HomePod. I hear something in the background on your end going.
Siri. Siri is trying to be helpful.
Oh, I saw this cartoon today that said, I don't remember what it was, but it was some joke about how some drug that this guy took will wear off in 10 hours. And he says, hey, Siri, set a reminder for 9 hours and 50 minutes. And it says, now playing the Beatles.
Of course it did.
Yep. It's egg freckles all over again, Peter.
I tell you, it's insane.
Well, that'll be interesting. I'll be interested to see what happens. I will say this. Your tale of thermostat woe has led me to greatly appreciate the fact that I've never had to use Ecobee support for anything.
Yeah. It was bad. And, you know, the phone support was okay, but I'm like, I don't want to pick up the phone, stay on hold for half an hour just to tell you, all right, I rebooted my router, and oh, now I have to go get groceries, so bye. You know, so that's why email is better.
I will give them credit for one thing. I have heard of other people trying to use HomeKit with Eero routers and having problems, and Eero routers doing weird things in general, which I think when Eero first came out, I don't think that was the case, but at some point along the line, Eero developed a problematic nature. And you tell me, because I don't have any Eero, but they're a little bit more of a black box than a lot of routers, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You don't get a lot of insight into problems that are happening. There's not a lot to configure.
Frankly, the Eero router is really well suited for a Mac user.
Right. Well, I think it's Apple people that started Eero.
Well, that makes sense. I would call it a very black box, but it's very white box.
Now, you say that about Mac users, but a Mac is a Unix system, and all I do all day long is play in the terminal. I have utilities. I have scripts that I've customized. My menu bar only shows certain things when I'm plugged into my monitor. And a Mac is a power user tool, my friend.
It can be, and that is not at all what brought them to popularity. It was because they were supposed to be...
Actually, I would argue that it's the combination of the fact that they are that way, plus they can also be the...
Yeah. When I say Mac user, I'm talking like your stereotypical Mac user from the 80s who believes that Macs can never get viruses and they're so superior to other computers, even though they've never even seen another computer. They just know that they're perfect. That kind of Mac user.
There's an overlap between the people who actually know how to use their Macs for power uses... And
for sure.
People that don't, and that attitude. So
I'm one of those Mac users now. I have my terminal open and lots of my windows, and I'm multitasking, et cetera.
No, I'm just saying that attitude, that incorrect attitude that you describe, it's not just the people that don't know how to use their Macs that have it. Some of the people that do still have that same attitude.
Yes, but in a non-derogatory way, Eero is perfect for a Mac user in the sense of like, I just want this stupid thing to work and I really don't care.
I just want to plug it in. I want to click as few options as possible.
Bingo.
I want to issue it a command and have it do something else entirely or just not respond and then hang up on me.
And when it works, it works. So there you go.
And when it doesn't work, good luck.
Good luck. What else we got?
I don't know. I don't know.
You said, I have no topics. I'm sick and I feel like...
Yeah. So I have a question. Does anybody understand why when you're sick, your, okay, let's, like with this cold, your head is a little bit heavy. Well, my head is a little bit heavy, yours isn't. And you just feel like you're fighting against the universe. Like I just knocked over my beer earlier. I couldn't find my phone that was on my monitor. I mean, what is it about the biological nature of being sick that makes the brain just utterly cease to function?
Well, you have a head cold?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things could be fluid in your ears is affecting your balance. And that way, you know, knocking things over is because you're like your spatial awareness is affected.
That I can believe, but certainly the inability to do things like look up and see my phone on my monitor where I put it. I mean, it's just everything. Like this whole week, part of the reason I had to work hours on both Saturday and Sunday is I was in my fighting the universe mode because I had a cold and I didn't feel good. So everything I was doing took 10 times longer than it should have. For tasks that only involve the mind and aren't physical in nature, why should that be a problem? It's weird. It's like...
Could be pressure on your brain.
Hold on, don't move. That's beautiful. Peter's just looking off into the middle distance, shrugging.
Can I move now?
That is a beautiful picture. I'm saving that.
Okay. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. That's Peter. If anyone, okay, I'm not advocating, this would be the, I would say this regardless, like, okay, I just want people to understand. What I think would be hilarious is if somebody that you're in a relationship with comes to you with a serious, serious problem, you just make that face and look off into the distance.
There are ample opportunities for that to happen.
Oh my God.
All right, how about a win? Do we have any sort of wins, whether it's physical,
yes,
emotional, work, technology? What do we got?
Well, you know that I've been upgrading the website in ways that are impossible for the user to notice. I've made the search way better. I made it easier for me to update the search without breaking it. And it's more of an integration now than just a bolted on component.
Okay.
I also have the transcript functionality in there, and I just need to start scanning generating transcripts, which I haven't done for the same reason I didn't edit last week's podcast yet.
Okay.
And then on my own personal site, this is a long story. I've written a lot of blog posts about image optimization, and Astro has ways to do image optimization, but they don't have a way to look in straight markdown files. Look at a markdown image link. Just so you know what a markdown image link looks. It's very simple.
That was the sound of me nodding, by the way, dear listener.
And then grab that image, create several responsive optimized images for it, and then create the responsive HTML for it. So what I was doing was, instead of using markdown, I was using something called MDX, which is basically markdown that allows you to use JSX-like components in it. And what that would allow me to do is use the Astro image component inside, which sounds great, but it also broke the ability for me to include full body content for each post in my RSS feed for reasons I don't want to get into here. Just MDX makes that hard. And that meant that I was doing a wacky, crazy kludge to generate an RSS feed that had full body content in it. And it would only get generated at dev time, not at build time. So it would generate it with URLs like http://localhost:3000. And so I had to remember every time I did a build, I had to not only copy that file over, I had to substitute http://localhost:3000 with https://scottwilsey.com. And it was just a pain in the ass. And besides, using a component in MDX means you have to, it's basically like when you're writing a web page, you have to remember the specifics of the component. What parameters does it need? What widths do I like to give these images? What do I, you know, what's the CSS media query that I like to plug in every time? When I'm writing and I'm doing a blog post, I don't want to know about implementation details. I feel like if your system requires you to know about implementation details in order to put an image in a blog post, you or someone else has failed miserably.
I would argue that maybe the person using that standard might have failed too. Maybe you got to pick better. Just saying.
So what I did was, so Astro is working on a component integration right now called Astro Assets, which basically allows, it goes through the markdown and it does all that for you. And then you just specify what widths of images you want generated, how you want it displayed with the sizes parameter. People who've generated responsive images using responsive image HTML will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, they're working on that and it works great in dev mode, but it won't build. So right now I'm using a third-party component plugin that has an integration. It does it for me. It's exactly the opposite. It doesn't work in dev mode, but it works in build. I don't care. It builds great. My images are optimized. They look exactly how I want them to. But it was just, that's the kind of thing I enjoy. I like going through. Those are some things that I don't mind fighting because I learn a lot when I'm fighting those. I learn how that stuff works a lot better when I have to sit down and bang my head against it and come to conclusions on my own than I would if it was all super easy and everything just worked. And, you know, I enjoy that kind of thing. So that's what I've been up to. I've been battling against that. So now my personal blog is in a spot that I really enjoy. It makes it easier for me to write to and put images in my posts and have an automatically generated RSS feed with full post body in it. Who can imagine in 2023 that such a thing would be possible?
No one could have ever thought that would happen.
I consider it a win because I got the result I wanted and I got to spend hours just focused on one computer thing.
Congrats. Well, it might be a little premature for me to declare this a win, but a little while ago, and about a month ago, I had installed, and about 2 months ago, I bought my Eufy Cam 2 outdoor security cameras. And I bought them thinking that my...
Those are expensive, aren't they?
Well, they're not that bad, actually. They weren't... This is the 2, so it's a slightly... It's like last year's model.
Oh, these are not the 4K ones, right?
No, but they're still plenty high res. Yeah, but high res.
Yeah, I'm not denigrating them. They're great. For a security camera for outdoors, I don't think you need to spend for the 4K.
Yeah, exactly. So these guys are pretty good. One of the things I bought them too, and I was a little, you know, I was like, a little skeptical, but they claim to have 180-day battery life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine were installed about a month ago when I got back from Costa Rica, and the front door camera now is down to about 44% battery life. So I think that 180-day means not streaming or recording all that often. And since I have mine set to trip on activity, like whenever a car drives by or someone walks by the front door, it's recording a lot more often.
Whenever a goose flies across the distant river.
Well, that's the backyard, but yes. So I deliberately, you know, bought these so that my electrician, even though I did have my electrician install them because he has a drill that can drill into brick.
Yeah.
I bought these so that I wouldn't have to have him run wires to the things, right?
Yes.
Well, my solution is I'm going to cave and buy solar panels to charge them. And these little solar panels have shown up.
When I was asking you where you got punched and you were supposed to stay in the solar plexus
on the street.
Instead of in the parking garage or in the street.
In the street, yeah.
So that looks really clunky. Like you're going to have these gigantic panel. First of all, how long is that cable? How long of a run can you give between the panel and the camera?
Plenty of long.
And is it hard? I assume it's a hardwired connection to the camera.
Well, it's a USB. It uses the USB-C port.
Right. So you're going to have a long-ass USB cable. So I assume that you're going to want to point these things generally upwards.
Generally towards the sun. It tends to be up.
So you're going to put them on the roof, I would guess.
No, they're going to be on a wall by the window.
So basically what you'll have is you'll have these things that, because they're tilted up, they stick out about 8 inches from the wall.
Well, they're the size of an iPad mini.
Yeah.
So, they'll be up a little bit.
6 inches wide, 8 inches wide, I don't know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, are these reachable by human hand from whoever's standing in the street?
Probably going to mount them so that is not the case.
The reason I'm asking is I also have a blind spot with respect to my outdoor cameras. I need to get some cameras right in front of my garage so that I can see my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you've seen my house. I have a two-story house where it's got a garage, and from the garage, there's some roof that goes upwards, and then the master bedroom is not a straight vertical reach up to the master bedroom.
Right.
The master bedroom is back a little bit. So for me to put cameras outside, they're going to be reachable. They're going to be under that garage door eave.
Yes.
Above the garage door, and people can reach up and snag them. And I'm trying to figure out what to do about that.
Well, obviously, you need two cameras, and each camera has to be able to see the other camera so you can see people coming and snagging them. So you need coverage. That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need coverage.
So these are $300 for a two-pack at the moment, if you buy them on Eufy's website.
Mm-hmm.
That, see, to me, that's what I call expensive.
Yeah, I just saw them. They were like 30% off on Amazon, and they're like mm-hmm. 80 or 90 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not too bad.
They were cheaper. Yeah, which is less than I paid for them, by the way. Great.
Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Bitter. Speaking of bitter, I want to review my beer now.
Let's hear it.
So what's left of this that's not in absorbent towels?
Does it taste better that way or something? I mean,
this is not as good a gluten-free beer as the Olali. It's a little, it's pretty bitter. It tastes a little thin. Like whatever flavors you expect from a stout beer, I'm not getting a whole lot of that. This is supposed to be bold, earthy, roasty, smooth. So what makes a stout? Because usually all the stouts that I have also have all these other flavors in them. This doesn't talk about a lot of other flavors. It just talks about, you know, well, water, malted millet, malted rice, malted buckwheat, hops, and yeast. It doesn't talk about a lot of additional flavors. So my guess is...
I don't think it has to have extra stuff to be a stout. It's just got to be... It's a dark ale.
Yeah.
And I think you use malted barley. I think that's what gives you the dark color. But they often do, you know, have a chocolatey coffee flavor. And they will often actually put chocolate or coffee or milk or lactose, you know, sugar into it. So that's, you know, that may be why.
This is a 6.2% ABV, by the way. But
it's almost three times what I had.
Not only is it bitter, it also tastes thin, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, stouts can be like that. They're a little watery, even though they're dark.
Yeah, which is a little weird because most of the stouts that I drink from the brewers around here are definitely the opposite of that. But a lot of them also tend to have...
Are you sure they're stouts and not porters?
Yes.
Okay.
They say stout right on them. I drink very few porters.
Okay.
Like you can go to... If you go... There's a website I have, Peter. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called friendswithbrews.com.
Is that B-R-U-I-S-E?
No, it's B-R-E-W-S. And you can see all the different stouts I've had. I've had Third Bird oatmeal stout. I've had Otis oatmeal stout. I've had Milk Stout Nitro. I've had Peanut Butter Milk Stout.
Ooh, those are good ones.
I've had... Oh, the mochaccino was you. I still want that. Oh my God. Lights Out Stout, was that you?
That is... That might have been me.
Yeah, Lights Out Stout was you.
I gotta see about mochaccino. Supposedly they were going to be making mochaccino again this year in March, and guess what? It's March.
And you were concerned about that because you were like, as soon as that comes out, I'm sending some to Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I even made a special trip to Vermont around the end of the year and the beginning of the year because those two coincide. And they didn't have any, and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's a winter thing. We make it. Oh, we might make it in March." I was like, your website says September to March. That's a bit of a span, a little bit of a discrepancy, you might say.
That is a span.
Yeah.
Eufy Cam 2. Oops, why did I do that? Why did I do that, Peter?
I don't know. Anyway, my thought is if I had to, I could mount these myself, and I was thinking I could mount them on my second floor windowsills if I wanted to.
Right, that'd be a good place.
That way I can do it myself, and I don't need special drills that drill into brick and stuff. And that way I'm just running the cable down to the cameras.
You realize you just made an excuse for yourself not to buy a tool.
I don't need more things.
But anytime...
Especially things when I could screw up.
You could just run around the neighborhood drilling into your friend's brick and concrete.
I could also probably affect the same thing with my shotgun if I really want to just put holes in walls. I mean, come on.
But these are precise, deep holes. Have you thought about the fact that if you ever get tired of your job, you could just have this wonderful living where all you do is run around the neighborhood drilling into concrete? People might pay you for that.
I'm sure that some people could pay me for that if I did it in a targeted, deliberate fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that.
And if they complain, what are they going to... If they're mad about your quality of your work, what are they going to do? You've got a drill that can go through concrete in your hands. They're not going to say anything.
I say the same thing again about having a shotgun. I mean, the net result is the same.
People are going to run away. Yeah, so I'm going to give this one a thumbs down, I'm afraid. That's the first time I've had to do that in a long time. My coffee gets a thumbs up. I've had that before on this podcast, though. But
what if you were desperate?
No, it's not worth it. Because it's got the sappy... It's got the sappy taste. It's got the sticky.
That's pretty bad. Even if you were desperate, you wouldn't drink this beer again.
Right, because it's got the downsides of drinking alcohol, which is you feel a little...
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any of the upsides of the flavor so amazing. Who cares?
Makes you feel like crap and it tastes bad.
Yeah.
Is that your review?
Yeah. Makes you feel like crap and it tastes bad. That is my review given to me by Peter GPT.
I didn't say those letters. I did not say those letters.
I got to see how long this lasts. I have to see how long it is that you utterly refuse to mention it for fear of being shamed.
Oh, I have no fear. I'm just trying to be nice and respect your wishes. I'm talking about it plenty outside of this forum.
I was going to say, you have to admit, you got a little obsessed.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. I think it has practical applications. I'm using it.
But see, that's like saying Facebook is fun to post stuff on. It's a tool of the devil. The way ChatGPT is right now, it's being rolled out as though it's something that is ready to do all these things that it absolutely is not. And people are just soaking it up. You don't think that's a problem?
Yes, that is a problem. And in no way does that take away from the utilization that I give it and the effectiveness that I get out of it.
Well, I mean, Nazis were good at getting shit done. Does that mean that...
Wait, are you blurring out Nazis or...
You're right. I need a second one.
No,
wait, I need a third one.
You
said it too.
You caught that. No, I've noticed, for instance, I think I sent you the link the other day. There are startups that are going out there now saying that they're using it for like business risk assessments.
Yes.
So don't sit here filling out questionnaires. You just tell us, we'll answer these things for you. And I know it makes tons of mistakes. I get that.
Well, not just mistakes. It just makes stuff up.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, right.
Well, you know how when you were giving us that story about the story that you were writing? And it would say, some people say this and some people say that. It does that all the time. And it doesn't know that, first of all, did people really say that? Is that an accurate summary of what it found on the internet? And secondly, it doesn't know the difference between credible theory and speculation and incredible theory and speculation. It gives equal weight to all opinions, which is a very American thing to do, by the way. But absolutely.
Is it?
Unhelpful.
Not lately. Not lately, it's not.
No, but that's why we got to this point. We gave credit. We gave equal opportunity for the anti-vaxxers to spout their mouths. We gave equal opportunity for the Trumpers and all those people to blah, blah, blah and say, you know.
Yes.
This is how we got into this mess.
Yep. Anyway, I get value from the tool. And yes, and I also get a lot of entertainment out of people who are doing it wrong.
But I guess what I'm saying is, Peter, we haven't learned. I believe in very selective Ludditism.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because I absolutely think we have to push back against just every time something pops up, whether it be crypto, whether it be NFTs, whether it be ChatGPT, whatever, all just this wholesale rush to embrace it and make as much money off it as possible before everyone realizes that it's a total fraud and a sham. And it's very unhealthy. Do we have to do that every time now? Is that just how things are from now until the heat death of the universe?
Right, but again, my use case is different, right? I'm not telling everybody.
No, I'm not talking about you.
AI,
I'm talking about how society acts with respect to technology now.
No, they do. They do have to do that. Yeah,
this isn't
how
it started. When computers first started coming around and I was getting into computers, this was not the scene. This was not the experience.
No, people resisted these newfangled things, but you know, there you go.
Well, we better wrap up.
If you want to find us, you can find us at friendswithbrews.com. That's B-R-E-W-S.
Right. And you can go there and search for Stout.
Yeah. You can also find, you can find us on Mastodon in a couple of different places. I'm at Nicolaitis at infosec.exchange. You?
I'm at Scott A.W. at A-P-P-D-O-T period N-E-T. App.net.
App.net.
Yeah.
How do you know it's not app dot dot net net?
It would be app dot 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 net net.
It could be app dot 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 net net.
Or no. Or if we're doubling, then it would be quadruple, wouldn't it? So it would be app dot 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 net net.
That's really weird.
It is weird, Peter. Mastodon is weird.
Acidon is weird. Anyway, I've got a big snowstorm coming in, so I'm going to run out to the store and buy some bread and milk.
Okay, that's a good idea. I can't wait to see you out shoveling the driveway with bread and milk.
It's going to be fun. Can't wait.
Okay, can't wait. Why don't you push your big red loaf?
Big red button. You need to bleep that out, too.
Bread! I was talking about bread!